The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello and welcome to another Video Games to the Max, the official video games podcast of W2Mnet.com. We also in partnership with ForumMania.com as well. This is episode 166 of all the shows, and I'm your host, Sean Garmer, and here with me, as always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
Well, we might as well get right into what you've been playing, because you've been playing a pretty big game that came out a few days ago now. It's been about four. Middle of Earth, Shadow of War.
Yep.
And have you run into a loot box yet?
Oh, yeah. I got the gold. I got the gold edition, so it came with one. So.
Okay.
And then... Yeah, it has like a two currencies. Like one is like one you have to pay for, and one is like just regular money. And yeah, I bought a few like with the regular money one.
Okay, I mean, do you feel like it helped you at all? Or?
Not really, because all the stuff you get in loot boxes, most of it you can't really use right away. Like you get the big thing you get is orcs, like to populate your army, and you don't get unlock that ability till Act Two, which is like 7 hours in the game, maybe more.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, just because there's so much controversy about that being, like, you know, making the game pay to win or whatever, and it seems like that's just gets overblown by people.
I think you get better quality orcs. Like, all the orcs in this game are, like, it's not the first game where it's just like, you know, here's an orc. Like, it doesn't, like, they don't really have, didn't really matter which one you get. This game, they all have stats associated with them, like levels, and then different skills and abilities, and like strengths and weaknesses. Like one orc might be immune to fire but weak to poison, or another one might be immune to stealth but weak to executions. And I think like the loot box orcs, especially the like ones you buy with the real currency boxes, like those don't have as many weaknesses as like a regular like. Orc you would get in a regular box or even you find in the game world. But
okay.
I don't think it's like game breaking by any means. I don't think, you know, it's not, the loot boxes aren't like the whole point of the game. It's not like Overwatch or like Dota 2 or anything. I mean,
yes, you can certainly go through the game without using one.
Oh yeah. I mean, you should, because you get, there's nothing to spend the currency on. Like you get currency from destroying gear and just from like some orcs just have it. Like you just pick it up in the game world. Mm. And aside from upgrading gear, like from challenges, which costs like 25 money, and you get hundreds, if not thousands, of currency as you progress through the game. So it's literally nothing. Like, there's nothing else to spend the money on, so you might as well spend it on these boxes.
So you were telling me that apparently it's not really an open-world game. It's more like, hey, there's sections, and you can go to any of them?
Yeah, so that's... I think the gameplay is fine. It's the same damn gameplay as the first one. Like, that's right. Still holds up
and
pretty
apparently,
well.
Apparently, Assassin's Creed Origins is very much like it as well, so...
But I drew this analogy in Assassin's Creed 2. There was no, like, there was a bunch of different little cities that you went explored on and ran around in. And in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, they just gave you Rome as like a big open city to that was massive. And more like the first Mordor had a big open world, or two of them, because there's two different landmasses actually, but they were massive. And it wasn't until halfway through the game we hit the second landmass, so that was a big game. And this game has, like, essentially districts or, like, little different cities that you jump, like, that you do actions in, and that's it. Like, there's three climbing towers per district, and that's about it.
Hmm. Weird that they decided to make the game, like, smaller.
Yeah, I think it might be technically bigger, because I have a feeling there's, like, a lot more districts than I have unlocked so far. I only have, I think, 4 or 5 unlocked. Okay. But it feels very confining. The map is pretty bad at telling you where to, like, paths around these maps, like, around these areas, too, are really bad. But, yeah, it feels like I'm, like, bumping up against, like, invisible walls or just, you know, like,
natural landmass. Like, the game basically says, okay, this is the end of this section. Go to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I took over my first fortress, you know, earlier today, and it was like, okay, you did this area, go to the next one. And it's like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like takes you out of the moment, I guess.
Yeah, and apparently the game is going to, like, transition to, like, Clash of Clans at some point, which is really weird.
What?
Because you have, once you take over your first fortress, you can get invaded by other people online, and you can also invade people, and then whatever orcs you have, like, manning your fortress, you can take, you know, you can take on, like, an assault run, or, you know, have them be defenders, and that's probably where some of the loot box stuff comes into play, honestly. But, yeah.
Yeah, that seems... Okay, that's a unique multiplayer aspect, I guess.
But
how's the Nemesis system?
It's fine. There's a lot more orc classes, like I said before, like different, you know, there's like a tank orc or like a air, like a, you know, archer orc or like an assassin orc. So, you know, you try to take those guys out. I got to the point now where I can dominate orcs, so I just turn all of them into my little friends, and they have some pretty good dialogue. one of them was weird, because one of them, I think, I killed another orc, and one I had dominated, like, broke free of his conditioning and came after me. And I was like,
wow,
all right.
That's interesting.
And I tried to take him over again, and it said he couldn't be, like, he had Iron Will now, so it couldn't be taken over. So I just beheaded him instead. Like, all right, nice. Well, I guess that works. Yeah, like, Nemesis, I've died a few times in this game, but I never got to the point in, like, the first one, at least, like, where I had, like, a super built-up Nemesis, because you just kill him. Like, you don't let him run away. Like, that defeats the purpose.
Right.
They have, like, retreating or, like, you know, sprinting away, and it's like, fuck that, I'm going after you. You attack me first, I'm killing you.
That's smart, but so you don't get the fun of, like, your worst rival deciding to show up randomly when you're trying to take over this.
Yeah, but thing. I wouldn't want that in any way, because, like, I saw some in the first game where it was, like, immune to everything except for, like, flies. And it's like, okay, let's... Or, like, immune to everything except for, like, this one niche, like, attack or something. And you couldn't damage him any other way. And it's like, I don't want that in my game.
Yeah, that seems kind of just... Like, you're crushing your soul trying to beat that one guy.
Yeah. But it's a... I don't think it's as impactful or, like, necessarily as... I guess, awe-inspiring as, like, the first game was, because that first game was such a shock to people when it came out, or, right. You know, but it's still a good game. Like, the dumb story aside, where they turned the spider into a sexy goth chick, like, that's about it.
She liked the opening with, like, 2 hours of...
Oh, she's, like, the first cinematic, or, like, the first 10 minutes or something. It's like, why is, like, goth Arwen or whatever her name was from the movies in this game now.
That seems really weird to just put in there, but okay.
And Gollum is back, which is kind of unfortunate.
I don't think he was, he's not voiced by the movie guy, right?
No, he still sounds like it's the same guy. It's the same voice actor from the first game, I assume. Okay. But it's just such a needless, I guess, pandering.
Right.
I mean, more than the goth chick, I would say. It's just like don't do it.
It's like, does he really need to be in here? Not really.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of, this is more like Shadow of Mordor 1.5. Would you?
I mean, it's an iterative sequel. I don't know why it took him 3 years to make this game. I'm not quite sure why. Like, it's a lot of the same systems. Like, you get a lot more powers and stuff in this game, it seems like. And it doesn't thankfully start as slow as the first game did. But, yeah, I mean, it's an iterative sequel. It's not like going to blow you away or anything like that. It's not like, you know, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood or Origin when that comes out in a few weeks or whatever. Like, it's more of the same. It's bigger, but it's kind of about it.
That's still good for people, especially if you haven't played the first one.
Having actually upgrading your character now is kind of fun, because the first game didn't really have that. Or, like, upgrading your character's gear, I should say. Like, you have a lot of, you go through, like, a lot of gear in this game.
So, did, like, the progression, there's a lot, they give you a lot more than the first game?
Yeah, the talent tree is a lot more blown out, and now you can have, like, a main talent, and then a few different, like, I guess supporting talents, or like one active supporting talent. And then, like, you have six different, weapon slot or and equipment slots, like your sword, dagger, bow, your armor, your hood, and your ring can all, like, it's just equipment. So you can, whenever you kill an orc, you get new equipment and you slot it right in. And there's, like, rare equipment, legendary equipment, you know, epic, stuff like that.
So more like an MMO.
Yeah, it's more of an RPG.
Okay. You like it going that route, or?
Yeah, I mean, it gives me a reason to, like, kill more orcs, like, because in the first game I just took them all over, like, and then once I took over all of them, I made all their heads explode.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I'll have a review of it in a few weeks, because it's kind of backed up, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, good that you're enjoying that, and it's a good game that people should go pick up and be, you know, be rightfully excited about.
Yeah. If you're a fan of the first one, get this one.
So you were telling me that the SNES Classic now has a way where you can mod games into it and put more games than it originally had.
Yeah, apparently the program, it's called Hack-Chi, got updated to support the SNES Classic. And there's, I want to say, 300 megabytes of, like, available storage on the SNES Classic to use. So, I mean, SNES game for, like, a megabyte to 2 megabytes big. So,
right.
I mean, yeah. Do that math. I mean, you could put hundreds of games on this thing if you really wanted to. I put like 30 on mine, maybe like 25. And yeah, it's easy to use and takes about 5 minutes. So,
hey, makes me want to get one now.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that was going to happen, you know, within 2 weeks anyway when it came out, because of course it is. But I put like Mega Man X 2 and 3, Donkey Kong Country 2 and 3, Chrono Trigger, obviously, a few Power Ranger games, and Tetris Battle Guide in, which is awesome.
That sounds awesome to all have in one little system that you can...
Yeah. Still not as good as my modded Xbox, but...
Hey, it's so nice to have another thing that does that.
To be fair, I got two other modded Xboxes, but
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, apparently some games don't work like entirely correctly, like just graphical. Like, I think they said it had like 75% compatibility with like game with any other system. So a few games don't work correctly, but I doubt anyone's gonna care about like Home Alone 2 or anything like that. Like, there's a lot of like, you know, who cares games essentially.
Yeah, the shovelware games that no one, you know.
Yeah, like Chrono Trigger works. That's all that really matters.
Exactly, the game that should have been in there but is not. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, even you can apparently get the NES Classic. So, or put the SNES Classic like front end into the NES Classic too.
Yeah, and they're also I think, I don't know if they have or not yet, but they're probably working on getting the NES Classic crap into the SNES Classic, like you would assume.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all, because those are even smaller, so
you can
definitely have all those games plus more, I'm sure.
Plus, like, better controller, I would assume.
We'll get into this a little later, but I've seen websites now come out with a Nintendo 64 Classic, these 15 games that need to be on it, or whatever we can.
I've seen that. There's also like I think a recent Game Boy trademark from Nintendo Japan.
Yes,
that's few. Like, who knows about that? But yeah, there's probably like 15 N64 games. They need to increase the storage size of the unit, because the SNES and NES only have 512 megabytes of like memory of like hard drive space, and it's not even a hard drive; it's just flash memory. So you need at least a gigabyte for the N64 one.
Well, that, and they have to decide if they want to pack in all four controllers, because that was a big thing about the 64.
I would say two, and then make sure you actually have like other controllers to be sold later on.
Yeah, they could do that as well. But definitely the SNES already set the precedent that you have to have at least two. And then you've got to decide whether you're going to have, you know, the Rumble Pack already in there, or is it going to already Rumble?
I would think no, because a lot of games didn't really support that thing. Like, a lot of Nintendo games did, but that was kind of about it.
Right.
And even that.
And the expansion pack, because I'd imagine they want to put Donkey Kong in there.
I would say that the expansion pack is like, there's no expansion pack. It's just going to be, you know, on the board. It's just going to be in the emulator, really.
Right, yeah.
Donkey Kong is a weird one, because it was developed by Rare. So I don't know if there's actually some problem or not with that.
I'd imagine it, like, being, like, that's where I wouldn't see something like, you know, because they were just in the Rare Replay. Like, I don't imagine we'll get the Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think any of the Rare Replay, like Conker or Jet Force Gemini, any of those will be in there.
But also, I mean, Donkey Kong Country is made by Rare, and that's in the SNES Classic, so what do I know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Donkey Kong is a, like, you know, you think of it as a Nintendo property, whereas the other ones, you know, you can also consider it as a Rare thing, and they also got, you know, re-released on Xbox and everything else. So I think definitely, you know, both the Zeldas would be in there, Mario 64.
I would say almost all the Mario Kart, all the Mario games like Mario Kart, Mario 64, Mario Tennis.
I would think Kirby. They would pick between one of golf and tennis.
I would say tennis.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on how many, right? Like, you got to think about it too of, okay, this is going to obviously cost at least $100, if not more, depending on how many games you put in. And then these games are bigger. And you also have to, you know, the only thing I would say is that, would these hold up? Because we've seen 64 games not look so good when you try to play them now. So
there are, like, high-res texture packs that, like, fans have made for some of those games. So they might be able to get some of those. I would say 105 pushing it, actually. Like, if it was 88, that'd be fine. But 100 for, like, 15 N64 games, it's like, meh. Maybe.
They are bigger games, and some of them... I mean, you're not going to have... The only thing is you don't really have, like, the big, like, RPG game.
Yeah, like...
Other than Zelda's to go, okay, you're going to be playing this a long time. Where you can...
Yo, man, what about... What about Quest 64?
Oh, yeah. You know, we're all dying to play Quest 64 again. Like... Oh, but I would agree with you. Kirby would probably be in there, even though it wasn't that good of a game. Star Fox 64.
Kirby was fine. It just came out really late. Like, that was kind of the problem with it. Like, a lot of... It's weird. A lot of Kirby games come out late for systems, so they're kind of ignored.
Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Wave Race.
Star Fox.
Star Fox, Rogue Squadron.
That might be iffy because of the licensing.
Paper Mario. They'll have a party game in there too, the Mario Party.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Those were some of the better ones though, the 64 ones.
They'll have Pokemon Snap.
It should have Pokemon Snap. They, for some reason, have never made a sequel to that game.
I mean, let's be honest. The only big obvious game that's missing from the N64 Classic is GoldenEye.
Yeah, GoldenEye they could do. I mean,
no, they can't.
Why?
They've tried. Too much licensing problems. There was actually a Xbox 360 version of GoldenEye that was supposed to come out, and it didn't because of their licensing. So. Like, there are videos of this thing running, and it looks awesome. But, I mean, that's why they made Perfect Dark, you know, they re-released that hunk of shit into the GoldenEye, because...
Yeah, they probably won't get that either.
Yeah, oh god, no.
Yeah, I just don't think they want to pay Rare. Like, Donkey Kong, I can see them do, but then I don't see them wanting to pay Rare for more than one game.
Well, they're not just paying Rare, they're paying Rare... the Bond license, and then I think EA, who owns the James Bond franchise now. So that's, you know, two or three other companies got to contend with. Don't worry, they can just put Turok Dinosaur Hunter on there instead. Same game.
F-Zero will probably be on there, I'd imagine. And then I would also say that the 1080 snowboarding.
Sure.
Why not?
I mean, I didn't like it that much, but I guess.
Well, you know, I could see something like that. They're gonna try to have different, like the same thing. Like, you know, if they didn't have to pay Rare, like Diddy Kong Racing, maybe. But
they'll put Resident Evil 2 on there.
Why not? What else does Capcom really have?
See, I've seen a lot of stories or a lot of speculation, like, oh, what if Nintendo made a GameCube classic or a PS1 classic? I'm like, you're out of your minds. Like, they're not going to, unless it's going to come equipped like an SD card, like, they're not going to have flash
memory
for that draft.
I think they'll just go ahead with the idea that they had from the beginning of, even if they don't have a virtual console, they'll just do GameCube classics.
Yeah.
And you'll pay, like, $20 for them. Or something like that on the Switch.
I mean, I could see a Game Boy Classic, though. Like, you know, this release, like, a very thin, like, Game Boy-looking thing and have, like, 40, 50 games on it. Because it's all... I mean, if you think, like, NES games are small, like, Game Boy games are microscopic, they're, like, 500K or something. So, who cares?
Yeah, I can see them doing a Game Boy and Game Boy Color together.
Yeah. Have kind of a shitty
Pokemons and
have kind of like a shitty screen, but representative of what the Game Boy Color was.
Right,
like have at least backlit. That's kind of about it.
Yeah, and you had to have the backlit. That was bad about the Pocket and the regular Game Boy. It was like I had to scrunch in my closet. I used to like stay up make it seem like I was asleep and stay up and play Pokemon. And I'd go in my closet, and my stepdad came in and found me there because it didn't have the backlit screen. I had to go somewhere where there's a light, and I got grounded from my Game Boy for like a week because of that. But
It didn't come out in America, but there was something called the Game Boy Light, and like
it was like a little flashlight, right?
No, it was a different game. It was a Game Boy Pocket with a backlight built into it. It like only came out in Japan.
Okay,
it's awesome looking. It's like, you know, those old like indigo like backlights on like watches and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like it has like that type of light built into it.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool actually for that time period. Like,
and it only came out in Japan, which is kind of a bummer. But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. So anything else you have been playing?
Divinity. Like, I'm still banging away at that. I kind of gave it up for a few days, or you know, since I got Shadow of War, but I'll go back to it because I have to review it first. It's still a very involved game that you need to invest a lot of your time in.
Yeah.
That's kind of about it. Like, I mean, haven't been playing that much. I played a little Pinball FX3, which kind of sucks, but, you know, it's what I expected.
It's Pinball FX3, I mean, can't expect too much.
To be fair, I actually have a lot of the tables unlocked on PC. I have, like, 48 out of 63 tables on PC. But
so you can't play them on...
No, God, no, they don't.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, it's fine. Like, the ball physics still kind of suck in that game, and that's kind of about it.
Well, that's still, I'm sorry that you're having to play with, I guess, crappy tables or...
Yeah.
Don't blame you for not wanting to pay for them again.
So...
So, yeah, the only game aside from trying to keep up with my crew in Rock Band is I played the first part of the Octopath Traveler demo for Switch. It basically goes back to like 16-bit RPGs. So it's centered, like, for in the demo you can play two different characters, a dancer and a warrior. And I played as the dancer chick for the first part. And then whenever you beat you can play the one you want, obviously. But whenever you beat the one of them, it tells you to go play the other one. And I don't know if any of the demo will transfer over to the main game or not. I doubt it. It's Nintendo. Usually they don't do that stuff. But just figured I'd mention it. Because I think I got my character like level 8 or 9 just grinding away. And the little bit that it lets you do. But yeah, so it sort of plays a lot like Bravely Default, if you've played that game or not. It's made sort of by the same people. And so, like, you use the same thing where you can store attacks. And so it stores them in the form of, like, boosts. And then you can press a button to get, like, basically 3 or 4 attacks in a row. And then you can... What you're trying to do is you're trying to break or, like, you know, I don't know. There, I know there's this another term for it in other RPGs where you're, like, basically trying to freeze the enemy so they can't attack you by knocking out their weakness. So, like, for the dancer character, you have a dagger and the shadow thing and, like, a shadow magic. So it's either, you know, because it's a demo... They got to make the enemies work for that. So it's either they're weak to one of those two. And it has a story. I don't want to spoil it because it's like the origin of her, basically. But yeah, it tells you why she's doing what she's doing. And then it kind of starts things. And right when it's about to start, it tells you, okay, you can play the game whenever it comes out. I thought it was... pretty neat. Like, I like the gameplay and going back to that old style. Bravely Default is a really good game on 3DS, so I think for them to do this on Switch, good idea. It's done by Square Enix too, so you know. For
the guarantee of quality.
Hey, at least on the on the 3DS it was quality. Some other things, not so much. But A15 worked out for them, so.
Yep.
What are you gonna do? At least they got that one for themselves.
Yeah.
Lots of VR talk this week. Not only does Oculus have something going, we might as well start with PSVR, though, because not only did PSVR come out with a different version, which now has an integrated headphone jack in the headset, earbuds are attached to the headset, even though you can plug in your own different earbuds if you want. There's a processor. The processor box doesn't make stuff run better. It's just processes the HDR pass-through, which was the problem with the original that had a problem with HDR. They are going to try to fix the 4K as well, but they wanted to make sure the HDR worked because that was a problem for people. Currently, the PSVR has almost 2 million headsets sold. The Vive has 667,000, and the Rift has 383,000. What do you know? The one that costs the least and doesn't require another system is going to have the most sales.
I mean, yeah, but I was kind of surprised at how little the Rift has sold. Like, I looked at 300,000 and that's it.
Yeah, especially with how much... Like, that seems to be the common one, right? The one that people are using, that gets advertised a lot.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I think the Vive is still better because it's baked into Steam. So that's kind of why people gravitated to that more, like, obviously.
Plus, you had the backlash on the...
Yeah, Palmer Luckey didn't help.
The Palmer Luckey thing didn't help either, so they got a bad name for that. And yeah, I mean, didn't probably the thing with Facebook probably pissed off some people as well. So
yeah,
I still think it's a good thing for the PSVR. And Sony came out on their blog today and revealed that around 60 games are going to come out between the end of the year and, you know, a lot of 2018, including Gran Turismo Sport, is going to be having VR. Supergiant is making a game, the Bravo Team game. Bethesda has Skyrim and Doom that are going to be in VR for PSVR. You have that game with the mouse that they showed at E3 called Moth. That still comes out this year. Golem is also coming out. There's a game called American Dream, which you can go through the 1950s World Fair. There's a Penn & Teller game as well. So, seems like, even though it still doesn't get promoted a lot, it's getting some traction. I don't still feel like this is going to be the main form of playing anything, but, you know.
No, God, no. Like, yeah, that's what you just said. Like, they're releasing stuff for it, but it just doesn't seem to have caught on, like, in the, you know, the must-have, like the Wii did, for example, or, you know, the NES Classic did, or, you know, something like that. Like, it just feels like it's nice that it's there, but that's kind of about it. Like, you and I know what one guy who has it, like a PS4, PS4 VR thing, and I think I know like a one dude who has a Vive, and that's kind of about it.
Well, I knew a second person, but he had to sell it. So
yeah,
I think give credit to Sony, right? Because a lot of people, if this announcement doesn't come out, you're thinking, okay, great, they're having the sale, and I should also mention that the Rift is now regularly going to $400.
Yeah.
So, and then they're also doing a Rift Go version. for $199.
Yep, $200, and that has no. It's a hands. You know, it's a PC free headset, so it's all built in.
So it's basically like the, I guess what the Gear VR probably would cost without. I think the Gear VR costs around, I want to say, $50 to $100 if you don't buy the phone with it.
Yeah, so. That's the thing. You need to buy a $100 phone or whatever. Yeah. The Oculus One is $200. It comes with like a little controller. It's running off the Gear VR platform, so you know a bunch of that crap's going to be on it. But nothing like that Steam or like Oculus is, you know, the good stuff. I would say.
Right.
But,
yeah.
I mean, for $200,
need a PC for.
Yeah, I mean, $200 isn't bad for, you know, something that's. I mean, I think that might sell better than the real Oculus, and I mean, obviously it will, but I still don't see like the mass market appeal yet. You know, there's still not that one killer app for any VR thing. I don't think.
Well, the thing is, too, people don't want to sit there in that VR all day.
Yeah.
Right. Like. It's a cool thing to, you know, Daniel was telling me, like, it's nice to, oh, if I want to watch Netflix on it and the wife can watch something else on TV, or if you're in a party setting and you want people to see what it is. Now this new PSVR allows that to happen a lot easier because you don't have to have this huge chunk of thing, take it over, take your, you know, your PS4 out and do all, there's less cumbersome things you have to do with it now with the new version.
Yeah.
But still, it's still this thing that you have to have. It's still $500 if you don't have the motion controls, and most people don't have those anymore. And so, you know, that's a big investment for something that you're still technically playing tech demos for a large portion of it, and you're not using a lot. And if you don't have, you know, if you don't have kids or you don't have people to show it off to a lot, I think it's a cool experience, but is it something you want to just really put the money down to use here and there?
Yeah, you just have to, you know, sit there for however long the game is and, you know, be completely, I mean, that's one of the goal, like, that's the ideal of, you know, just complete immersion in a game. But you don't think about the downside of, like, okay, you can't see your wife or your kid or your pet or the world outside, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if your phone rings, okay, well, I got to make sure that I get out of it to answer the phone or whatever. Whereas if you're playing a game, you're still aware of your surroundings and you can just hit pause and go do what you want to do when I come back and keep playing. I would assume the VR is similar. But again, like, it takes that immersion away, like you were talking about. So I think if they ever lower the price, I would consider it. But at $500, I just can't. Not because I want to go buy an Xbox One X or anything like that. It just, which I love how Microsoft's trying to spin that, oh, we're going to have plenty available for you. It's probably because there's not going to be that many people buying it. But, you know,
the hot exclusive of nothing. the big holiday game of Forza isn't going to entice people to buy the new Xbox,
which you're waiting a whole month to play if you're not getting it for Xbox One. Like,
I mean, I've said it before, but Microsoft has seemed like completely lost this generation. Like,
yeah,
they started off on a bad foot and, like, things have gotten somewhat better, but not great. Like, especially their, like, first-party development has just been atrocious this generation cycle. And you gotta go, like, what happened or what's going on?
They've had some really good games. It's just nothing that makes you go, oh, my, I really need that. I mean, like, Gears 4 was great. I still don't think I need to sit there and go play that or what, like.
I mean, I mean, Gears is still fine, Halo's still fine, Forza's still fine, but nothing like they came out like new hit really well. I mean, I think like Sunset Overdrive, like that was reviewed well, but I don't think it sold worth a damn. It seemed like, and
I think it still sold a million copies.
Yeah, but considering like the scope of that game and like how much money probably was put into it, gotta go like. like there's not been an announcement for Sunset Overdrive 2.
No, yeah. Well, Insomniac's doing that Spider-Man game right now, so.
I mean, yeah, but Microsoft could pay them. I mean,
they could, but I doubt they want like half the team,
or yeah,
whatever, working on Spider-Man, and then the other half's working on, you know, number
Sunset
two.
Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, yeah, and then you know they get a half-assed game because more of the attention's put over to Spider-Man. You know, Cuphead just sold a million copies
as
well.
Yeah, copies.
So that's a boon for them, and that's also a boon for that small developer, which a lot of them are just all, a whole family doing that game. That's amazing to me. I forgot to talk about that game. I don't think we talked about it last time.
No.
Cuphead is... It's beautiful. I mean, like, you can see it. Immediately, you get it, right? Like, the great thing about Cuphead is it's not just, oh, look how pretty it is. It's hard. And I'm still stuck in World 1 because I can't beat two of the bosses. I beat three of them. I got to beat the other two. And the only reason I don't want to just go ahead and do it on easy is because apparently you can't get to the end of the game if you beat bosses. If you beat any of the bosses on easy, you cannot, which obviously I can go correct that, right? I can go, that boss that I beat on easy, I can just go try to beat it on normal later. But still, I do think that's kind of crappy. Like, you should be able to play the game the way you want, especially with the way speedrunning works now, like where people are wanting to speedrun things and it gets a lot of press for your game. Kind of.
Yeah, but there are speedrunning things because they're like good at them. Like.
Right. No, I get it. Like, this is a hard game and they want you to experience it the way they wanted you to experience it. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying that if people wanted to beat it on easy, because hey, you know, people have time and they want to be able to play that game and also do other things. I mean, they pay the $20. I mean, you still got your money. It's not like they can go take it back somewhere, right? It's a digital game. So, but yeah, I mean, credit to them for adding the extra levels too, that made it not to where it's not just a boss rush game. The platform levels are fun. Which if you go through all the platform levels and don't kill anyone, you can play in black and white, which makes it even cooler to play, because then you're playing it like a real 30s game, you know, like if you're really playing things with that look like they were in the 30s because they're in black and white. So, yeah, just yeah. It's amazing to me how they made this game, the amount of frames that are in there for the animation and all that. It's just absolutely amazing. Just really, like, this is one of those things that I think people are going to look at, and like 10 years down the line, you're going to still be able to look at that game and go, wow, that's a, when people talk about video games being art, that's one of those things that's, you can point to that for sure. It's well worth the $20.
I was going to say, like, you talk about the difficulty thing. The X-Men game on the Super Nintendo had the same thing, where it had like a training mode where you went through like the first two stages with each character, and then that was it. Like, you had to play the game on normal to like get past that.
Right.
And there've been plenty of other games that have, you know, either mocked you for playing on easy, or, you know, hidden like the ending away.
Oh yeah, like the where you don't get the true ending. Or whatever, like Kingdom Hearts does that. Where
yeah.
You don't play on Nightmare mode or whatever, or the Proud mode, you don't get the secret ending.
Right? Yeah.
So, which, you know, is the thing that leads into the next game, so you kind of want to see it, even though you could just go to YouTube and cheat and see it. But, yeah, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing about it. I'm saying that, you know, wouldn't have been bad to unlock that. But the game is really good. I love
like,
it.
Oh, go on.
No, I'm just saying I love it. I love the fact that you learn from losing. Like, when you die, you immediately go, oh, that's my fault. And that's next time I can try to do this to try to beat him. Now, I'll be honest, there's some bosses where I had to go look at something because I was just kind of like, what the heck do I do here? But once I could kind of see what you're doing, none of it's easy, but it, you do feel like you learn while you're fighting the things.
Yeah. Isn't it basically just Contra?
Yes, the bosses are very much Contra or Mega Man or, you know.
Well, I would say Contra because there's multiple bosses per level. Like, that didn't happen in Mega Man.
Yeah, there's multiple bosses per world or whatever, but you're just fighting one boss at a time.
Yeah.
Or getting to the end of the platform level, and then you have the boss, which are usually a lot easier than the ones that are just the boss. And you do have the, you can get upgrades and stuff like that too, the upgradable weapons and whatnot. So, it's well worth your $20. Go buy that game. Speaking of Xbox, we talked about it. They talked about it. At E3, original Xbox backwards compatibility is going to come out at some point in 2017. Look, I loved Fusion Frenzy when I was a kid, so I'm going to welcome that. Crimson Skies is still one of the best games. You know, probably one of the best ever made. I really love that game. For the original Xbox, but like we talked about, there's not like this huge amount of original Xbox games that you go, oh, I just need to play that game. So
yeah, and the games that I would want, they're not gonna get like the license for, or they're not gonna care.
You mean like I would love
like Death Row or like the Buffy the Vampire Slayer game, but. They're not going to get that.
Yeah, probably not. You're probably going to get the usual suspects. The Halos and the Crimson Sky, Fusion Frenzy, Jade Empire, the Knights of the Old Republic games. I can't think of some others that... the freaking whatever that card thing is that they just made, the
Phantom Dust.
Yeah, Phantom Dust, and so there'll be a few others, I'm sure. But
like Bloodwake or something. But there weren't a ton of like original good, like super great original Xbox games out there.
Yeah, there's probably enough to, if they ever wanted to, which they won't. But if they ever wanted to make an Xbox classic, there's enough for that. But That's about it. Speaking of old games, this seems like really weird to just all of a sudden bring these games over to PS4, Xbox One, and PC, but if you want NES adventure games, you can get 8-Bit Adventure Anthology from Abstraction Games, Shadowgate, The Uninvited, and Deja Vu, all out on Halloween.
Okay.
Why? Yeah. Why? I mean, Shadowgate was fine, for that time period. It really was, a sort of hard game and everything. I've never played the other two, but yeah. You know what comes out next week? South Park Fractured But Whole. And there's a $30 season pass. Mark, as you'd expect.
Well, it's an Ubisoft game, so...
Yeah. There's a Day One pack that has the Relics of Zaron costume and perks. And you can also have Tally, your gaming bud, that gives you in-game tips. That's a nice touch there to give you. Tally, of course, all this can be bought separately as well. You don't have to buy the whole thing. There's a DLC pack called the Danger Deck, where you have to face the ultimate combat challenge of Timothy Danger's deck of what cards?
I mean, I assume.
And then the second DLC pack is a new story from Dust Till Casa Bonita, which is the pretty house in Spanish. And yeah, you team up with the Coon and Mysterion to defeat the demonic presence of Casa Bonita. And that will cost $12 by itself. That comes out later in 2018. Yeah, and so
sure.
You want the season pass now? After?
Well, I'm kind of iffy on the game, so I guess we'll see when we'll cross that bridge when you come to it.
I thought all you got, like, I thought that was like the one game in on staff that like everybody was getting was South Park.
Well, so, I love the first one, but it's not being developed by the same people, so
yeah, it's not.
That makes me a little iffy. And then I think their whole superhero shtick, like, I don't know how long that can sustain a game.
I'd agree with you there. If you're really into that, I think it could. Didn't they change some of the battle system though too, where it's not totally turn based? Or
yeah, it looks a little more like action or like tactical almost, so yeah. That's another thing, like, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, only a couple of days, so yeah, it's that's a calendar part of the year that there's gonna be a lot hitting at once. This came out basically the morning after we did the podcast last time. Andrew House has left Sony. Or he's not leaving Sony, per se. He's going to become the chairman
of
SIE.
He's leaving Sony at the end of the year.
I thought that I read something else where he's going to just take a higher position.
No, he's out from Sony at the end of the year. He transitioned to the chairman of, chairman position now to train up, like, his replacement, I think. That's about it.
The worrying thing is that John Codero is going to be his replacement, and he's been the guy that's kind of been on the Sony Online stuff, which, Sony's not been that great with, so...
Yeah. Well, you'd hope that maybe they get some new blood in there, like, that might help, or, like, now that he's in, like, a more of a position of power, like, he might be able to affect better change. I mean, I guess we'll see.
Right, I think, he could be the person behind making sure that they push the PSVR stuff as well, because that was something that until we saw this thing with the 60 games, they were really just saying, well, this is something that we have here. If you want it, you can go get it. It's not something that we're making a huge part of our platform. That's still the PS4 and... whatever, and now the PS4 Pro, but they've all of a sudden just very quickly, hey, PSVR, don't forget about it. It's right here. We're making games, so.
Well, it's been a year for that thing, so they have to kind of say that, like,
right.
That's the same timeline with Microsoft having the Kinect. Like, hey, it's the anniversary, so here's a whole bunch of new games.
Did you see that they actually still have an add-on for the Kinect, but now you have to pay $40?
Wow.
To put that into your Xbox One X, and I was like, who the hell is going to want to do that?
Hey, man, like, people want to play Kinect Sports Adventure 2.
It's like, have you really gotten so used to your, like, telling it Xbox on that, like, you really need that for the...
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Like... I love it when companies just will not acknowledge, like mistakes or failure. Like, they should have realized from day one that Kinect 2 is going to be a disaster. And, they still, they dropped it pretty quick, but they still haven't said, like, we're sorry for putting it in.
Yeah, they probably won't either until maybe this generation is over.
Oh, they'll never say.
Them talk about it again.
Until the next, the new Xbox console, or Kinect 3 is packed in somehow.
I know this is nothing new, because Steam has this, obviously, but I would like to see every console have this. By this point, this really should have just already been in there. But Xbox is becoming the first of the three consoles that allows gifting. from console to console. So it's only for insider members right now, but it'll eventually come to everybody.
It's you question like why they don't allow for that. And I would assume like fraud maybe.
Yeah.
But, like if you wanted to get me like let's say you wanted to buy me
because
you know,
it's so much easier to just do like on Steam where I go, okay, here I bought you this, have it, instead of having to buy a card for you digitally.
Yeah, a currency card
and then giving you the code.
Yeah. So you just wonder why like none of like the systems don't allow for that and it's like
maybe
there's
not
times,
a big
people.
Enough call for it.
Maybe, but you have to like friends would do it, like or even family, like wake up on Christmas and instead of buying the games, you know, in the store, so here they're all in your account now, or you know, you just click accept, like, you know.
Right. Yeah, because that's even better than going to the store. You just turn on your PS4.
Yeah.
And bam, they're right there, and all you have to do is download them. I mean, don't have to go through the whole thing of, oh, let me get the disc out, put it in, and take the disc out again, put in the other game, you know, so.
Yep. But, I mean, I guess it's nice that Microsoft's doing this, but, again, it's like, this is kind of late.
It's like Microsoft's doing all the great digital stuff that if they'd done it a lot earlier, it might have made a difference. But, hey, it sets everything up for, I guess, the next generation where everybody knows you should probably have this all there at the beginning.
But, yeah. And all the games are not free to play.
I don't know that I want that.
With loot boxes and microtransactions.
Yeah, because the Star Wars Battlefront 2 beta just came under complete fire for that. As well, about the random drop boxes and being able to almost like pay to win pretty much in the multiplayer. Now EA immediately came out and said that they are adjusting all this now after people just said, look, I'm not buying it. I mean, that's good that you had enough people say, look, this is crazy. We're not buying this because Battlefront 2 is a mainly multiplayer game. If you're going to have loot crates where people can pretty much get almost everything, then yeah. But they have come out and said that star cards, outfits, and emotes, and victory poses are all going to be in loot crates. You can buy them with in-game credits or premium currency. In an effort to balance the potential effect of players buying crates, the most powerful items will not be included in crates, and so they will be locked via in-game achievements. Additionally, unlocking most weapons and upgrading star cards will only be accessible in accordance to the player's rank, which can only be progressed by playing the game. So, you feel like this is going to combat it, or we're still going to have this problem?
I mean, we're going to always have this problem. I'm just going to go back to the Battlefront, I think it's Battlefront 2 on Steam and play that instead. The classic one they just re-released.
That seems weird to have just now re-released that when you've had all the other Star Wars game on Steam for like how long now?
No, well, they didn't re-release it. They basically updated the multiplayer to work.
Oh,
they used
okay.
To use. They used to use like GameSpy or something that's been, you know, gone for years.
Right.
So, yeah, like people are playing like the 2005 version of Battlefront 2.
Ah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, show them how to do it on the current Battlefront 2. So.
Well, the funniest thing is, like, this game, Battlefront 2, routinely gets thousands of people playing it. Like, per day since they did this.
Wow.
Like, there are currently 1,000 people playing it right now. Huh. Meanwhile, I saw a post, like, I think today or yesterday, saying, like, the concurrent player for Lawbreakers was, like, 10 people.
Wow. I mean, I just remember that game coming out and, like, no one talking about it. And the big deal was that Cliffy V made it. And it was like, do people really care about this game?
Yeah, like, Battlefront 2, a game that came out 12 years ago, had 1,000 people playing it. Lawbreakers has 63 people playing it right now.
Oh. Well, he must have been pissed that they updated that. People playing it. But it's still cool that they did that. I like the fact when you can bring back old games and people can enjoy them again. Speaking of an old game, well, I mean, I don't know how old this is, but Hawken PC is now, it was a free-to-play mech game. It's done on PC. It will be taken offline on January 2nd, 2018 and removed from Steam. They are going to do that so they can focus on the console versions. Are you going to put the PC version back in when you do the console version? That seems weird. Like,
I mean, Hawken came out 5 years ago, and it stunk then. I mean, they say that they're going to focus on the console version. I'm like, yes, for 3 more months, and then you'll pull the plug on that one also.
That just seems really weird that it's a 5-year-old game and you're just now coming out with the console version.
Well, the console version has been out for a while.
Okay.
It's been out for I think, a year.
Did they sell well or something?
It's still free to play on console.
Oh, okay.
I just think people didn't care about that game at all. So, like, it didn't sell. I mean, it didn't sell, you know, the in-game items didn't sell at all. And, like, with Lawbreakers, no one talked about it ever.
Yep. I don't know. That's the first time I've heard of it.
There you go.
But, yeah, that's, like, normally that would be a game you'd think that would do well on PC and not you're trying to focus on the console versions, but.
Okay. I mean, it got off to a very shaky start initially. And then it was the same thing with Evolve, really. Like,
okay,
they just couldn't get a player base back into it.
Well, I don't know if I can feel bad for those developers or not, but yeah, if you're a Hawken PC player, I guess figure it out, play it
for a few more months.
Yeah, a few more months there. Something you will be playing in who knows how many months, but it's coming to PC. PS4 and Xbox One, God Eater 3, Bandai Namco announced this a couple of days ago. Pretty much, it's, you know, God Eater, but it's the first sort of... I mean, God Eater 2 came out last year. I thought it was pretty good. Now you get God Eater 3. So, good that they're continuing on with this.
Yeah. I got the second one also. I didn't play it that much, but it seemed fun.
Yeah, I have the first one as well on digitally. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's a weird thing, because I got God Eater 2 as a review code, and it did not come with God Eater 1.
Yeah, it was only the day one edition, or whatever, that comes with the God Eater 1.
Yeah.
It was an incentive for buying it or something.
Yeah, but when you buy God Eater 2 from Steam, now you get God Eater 1. That's the only way you can get it.
Yeah, that's weird that they didn't do that with your... I guess they wanted to make sure you only reviewed God Eater 2 because they didn't need a review of the PSP game from way back then. But yeah, so third one coming out. Good to know that series is sort of continuing and coming west. Fortnite, which just announced, including the Battle Royale, has 7 million people playing it. They are taking legal action against cheaters that continue to make new accounts to play the game. They are facing up to $150,000 in damages for copyright infringement because they create unwanted chaos and disorder within the game because they're using aimbots or other cheat technology and they're ruining games for people who play fairly. We take cheating seriously and will pursue all available options to make sure our games are fun, fair, and competitive. Well,
I mean, a lot of online companies do this, like Blizzard did with WoW and stuff like that. I mean, what, they're not going to get $150,000 from these people. They don't have it. They're just going to get the company shut down, or, you know, the program's, you know, discontinued or something. But if it's a popular game, this type of stuff is always going to happen.
Yeah, as much as you, I mean, and they, a lot of these, you know, games, they do a really good job of banning the cheaters, or they try to, and then, you know, they figure out a way around it, because if you're cheating, you know how to get yourself back in the game. But yeah, I totally understand the whole taking legal action, but you're not getting the money from these people. Like, you're gonna threaten them, and they're gonna, you know, take it down, and then they're gonna figure out how to keep playing. So it's a vicious cycle.
Yep.
I guess at that point, Horizon Zero Dawn Complete comes out December 5th. That will include the Frozen Wilds DLC, which comes out November 7th. Horizon Zero Dawn, a great game from this year that you should all play.
It kind of got forgotten about, it seems like.
It doesn't help you got all these games coming out here at the end of October that are going to make you really forget about it. So
yeah. I think Zelda is probably going to be a big game for like Game of the Year stuff.
Yeah.
And likely Mario Odyssey, frankly. But I'm curious to see like where Horizon Zero Dawn falls on like a lot of people's lists, if it even does.
You know, I think it'll still be there. It's just, you know, you got these like big games that are coming out towards the end. You know, the Wolfenstein 2s. You know, Mario comes out the same day, Assassin's Creed Origins. You know, you got stuff in November that's coming. So, you got Xenoblade 2 that comes in December, even. So, I mean, that would probably still have to be a fantastic game to probably make people's lists. But
I don't think games that come out in December typically don't, because a lot of people just don't have time to play them, or they
have
like
the Far Cries have though when they have.
Yeah,
but like they come towards the bottom because people have just started playing them. Or
yeah, exactly.
It's to go think back, and that's the thing too. You just mentioned Zelda. Zelda basically stole its thunder because it came out the week before.
Yeah.
Zelda, and then the Switch came out. Zelda comes out, and it's like, oh boy, Zelda, 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 and you kind of forgot that Horizon Zero Dawn was a damn great game, and that came out, and you're trying to talk about both of them at the same time, and you're like, well, you know, so, yeah, it's going to be interesting what's still there from the beginning of the year when you have to start counting how many of these games came out here towards the end. You know, you kind of have to think that, you know, a Middle of Earth Mordor that won Game of the Year for, you know, 4-1-1, you know, in its year, I don't think Shadow of War is going to be near that. So there's one game that perhaps wouldn't be replacing it, I guess.
Well, it's the whole thing about an iterative sequel versus like a new and original game or idea. I mean, Zelda's a franchise, obviously, but
right.
Breath of the Wild is such a departure for that game series that it's, you know, it's a new game essentially.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you know, not a lot of sequels come out and they're better. We'll have to see with Wolfenstein 2 if that's going to be the case. Wolfenstein 1, Evil Within 2 just came out yesterday. So I haven't seen a lot on that yet as to whether or not it's better. But
it's gotten better reviews. Which is good, because
yeah, that's good.
That first game like didn't review particularly well.
Right. I think it was a game that was sort of liked for what it was doing, and then Resident Evil comes out and blows that out of the water. So that's another game that you got to think about from January. So you know, this is going to be a year where you're really going to have to go back and forth and try to figure out what you want to put on there depending on how big your list is.
But, and the number one, and the number one game is still going to be Puyo Puyo Tetris.
In Mark's world,
yep.
It is, yes. Being on Switch might help that a little bit, but I don't know. I doubt that. It seems like every time I turn my Switch on now, there's like 20 games coming out every week. So, just God.
Yeah, but a lot of it's just like the indie games of yore.
Yeah, like a lot of it is, yeah.
Like Axiom Verge or The Flame and whatever the hell that name is. Cup in the Flame,
Flame
or whatever.
The Flood. Flame of the Flood came out this week. The first Siberia comes out for it next week.
It's only a 14-year-old game.
Yeah, like, wow. But, yeah, I mean, why not if you can't? Like, I think Spelunker came out for it. Now it's like Spelunker Party and some other things as well.
Wow.
More. Go ahead.
You're right. Like, Siberia 1 next October 20th.
Yeah.
That game is 15 fucking years old.
I'm not kidding. That was coming out. So, I still want to play Golf Story, but I don't know if I want to put the $15 down for it right now. But, yeah, it's as I turn my Switch on and it does a little eShop music. Well, it's doing that. Yeah, there was at one point like 20 games that came out for this thing on. Yeah, so like Rogue Troopers, Putty Pals, which I swear that came out like 2 years ago, the Jackbox Party Pack 4, Count, Lucanor, Elliot Quest, Super Ping Pong Trick Shot, and it's like beer pong on Switch, Revenant Saga, which is a game from the Kemco people, Fire Emblem Warriors comes out as well. That's the new game. It also comes out on 3DS and a few other things. So,
yeah.
I mean, they were making a big deal about Axiom Verge coming out because of the Metroid Samus Returns thing.
That's at least a fairly relevant game. Like, they only came out 2 or 3 years ago, so that's fine. I give that game a pass, or like Stardew Valley, for example. But
yeah, I mean, they're still trying to have Payday 2 come into the system. So
that's fine, but not. I draw the line at Siberia.
Sonic has its movie rights land at Paramount. Sony had taken it into a first look deal. But now they're going to develop a feature-length film on Sonic. Deadpool director Tim Miller is an executive producer. Go ahead.
I don't want there to be a Sonic game. Sonic movie, I should say.
I don't know that I want there to be a Sonic movie either, but
because
why not?
Well, there's two ways it could go. The bad way that they're going to, and the correct way they should. And the bad way they're going to is Sonic is going to hook up with some, like, 8-year-old kid in, you know, the real world, because Sonic inexplicably now takes place on Earth. And, like, him, Tails, Knuckles, they're all going to fight Robotnik with this, like, small child. That's the bad way. The good way is Sonic, Tails, Princess Sally, you know, all that comic book crap, like, take place on Mobius, where they go up against Dr. Robotnik. On the old Sonic cartoon show. That's a good way they should.
I agree, but they probably won't do that.
No, they stripped that continuity away completely, which is a real shame, because that was, like, the, like, one good part of Sonic, like, story there was.
Oh, the sad days when Sonic was relevant.
Yeah, 20 years ago. 25 years ago, really.
Well, maybe this will make Sonic relevant for the younger generation, so they still won't get any good games other than Sonic Mania. So.
Yeah, I've been really debating when to buy that.
$15 isn't bad for that, though.
So, it's 20.
Oh, it's 20. Yeah, that's right. I paid $20, but I don't know why. I said that. But, I don't regret my purchase. It's a fun game. It's Sonic. I mean, it's the old school Sonic, so can't go wrong. Yeah. Something you can't get wrong is Netflix once again raising their prices, and this time they did not really give you a heads up at all. They just people started reporting that Netflix was upping their price, and then they're doing it. Now it's really only it's $1 more a month for the 2 stream, which it goes from $9.99 to $10.99, and the 4 stream is up $2. It's now $14 instead of $12, so that's the one I pay for. Jeez, thanks Netflix. But yeah,
I mean to be fair to Netflix, I mean you say that and it is bad, but they do make a lot of like custom content at this point now. Like they're not just.
I mean, you know, the amount of original content they come out with every month is ridiculous.
Yeah, and then also like a lot of their deals are expiring or probably cost more because they you know they can charge you know film studios and TV networks can charge for it. So that's right. That's why. But so it is bad, but it's somewhat justifiable.
No, I totally think it's justifiable. I'm just saying it's $2 more, and you know you can add up all the other streaming services, and it eventually starts costing you money. But it is only $2. It's not like they went from you know 12 to 20 all of a sudden, or even the Hulu difference between the commercial free and the non-commercial free. So. I don't think it, I know people are making a big deal about it and saying, oh, I'm going to cut Netflix now and whatever, but you got to think about this. The amount of original stuff they come out with every single month, and it's good stuff. It's not crap that they just put out there. We're getting Stranger Things 2 at the end of this month. I mean, God, like, come on, you can't complain, really.
Yeah, and then I think Black Mirror, the rest of season 4 sitting... this year also, like maybe like this October also, so can't wait for that.
I mean, they lost their deal with Epix to where they don't get as many new movies as they used to. But
yeah, and stuff like leaves, like I think Futurama's leaving like next month or something. But you know, at the like it's been however many years. Like if you haven't watched it by now,
yeah, they have stuff come and go all the time, so it's not like. That'll probably come back at some point, and you know, it is what it is. Like, Netflix is really there for my daughter at this point. I don't use it too much, but like, it's a nice thing to have, and they do like again for the original shows, it's well worth just the money. So
yeah, there's always like that one show every like 4 months that you want to see, like. Jessica Jones or Orange is the New Black or something.
Yeah, like a lot of networks don't even have that. I mean, HBO probably is the only other one that has that good of a rate of having something you want to watch all the time. But speaking of, another reason why they need to do this is because they're signing deals with movies. They cut a deal for the rights to the Shaft reboot with Samuel Jackson. It's also going to star the original Shaft, Richard Roundtree, and the new Shaft, which is basically like him and his son having a problem and they solve a case together, whatever. Netflix may be fronting over half of the film's $30 million budget, which allows them to have a bigger budget for the film as well. Basically, that's to hit Netflix 2 weeks after it hits theaters.
What about Samuel L. Jackson? He's not going to be in it?
He is. Samuel Jackson's in it.
Okay, I didn't. Sorry.
Yeah.
You said Richard Roundtree. I didn't hear the Jackson part.
Yeah, that's. I had never watched the original Shaft when I watched the Shaft with Samuel Jackson, and I thought he did a really good job. Then I went back and watched the original. I was like, oh, okay, I get where this is from. But it's just, yeah, it's. I mean, it's cool. Like I'm. I mean, they're rebooting everything at this point, so.
Samuel L. Jackson's in a bunch of weird stuff, because you would expect he'd just be in every Marvel movie, you know, collecting $30 million or whatever.
Well, they don't put him in those.
Well, I mean, yeah, but also, like, he also just does, like, a lot of weird independent stuff, like, along the way.
Well, that's good. I mean, then he has his Capital One commercial where he sings now. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's doing stuff all the time. Like, you know, he's in the Kingsman, right? So,
yeah, the first one.
It's, I mean, he's in so many, yeah, like you said, weird things. You know, he had his anime. He has done so much in his career, and it's crazy to think, you know, how much more he's got. So glad to see him continuing to do films. Spawn's reboot is going to be filming soon. Todd McFarlane, I feel like, has been talking about this for a while now. So good to know that it's starting to film.
That's what he says.
I still keep meaning to go back to watch this on HBO, the original like series on HBO, and I never do.
The series is good. The movie is bad.
Yeah. That's all I've heard is the movie is awful. Don't watch it.
I think it's done by like some, it looks kind of anime-ish, you know, like but like Keith David does the voice of Spawn, which is great. And like Spawn is kind of barely in it most of the time.
Oh, well, that's kind of disappointing.
Well, no, because that's the whole point. He's hidden in shadow and, you know, he's in it, but you never really see, you don't see him too often.
Oh, okay, okay. So he doesn't wear out his welcome.
Yes. Right. Okay.
Bob's Burgers is getting a movie in 2020. So, hey, Simpsons got a movie. Surprise, Family Guy hasn't had a movie.
What? They had their direct-to-DVD movies.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I forgot about that. And, hey, I know a lot of people that really enjoy Bob's Burgers. I kind of fell off of the show after a while. Just because there's so much on to watch, you got to start picking and choosing after a while. But, yeah, 2020, you get a Bob's Burgers movie, so awesome stuff. Are you a Bob's Burgers?
Nope, never watched it.
I feel like you should at least watch a couple of episodes, but I don't know.
I've heard it's a lot like King of the Hill, like as far as like focused more on family, the family dynamic, and not being like outlandish or having like comically, like cartoonishly stupid characters like Simpsons or Family Guy or American Dad.
Yes, it is very different in that way. So
like it has like realistic, fairly realistic plot and like characters, which is fine. Like good on them.
Right. On. I'm
still bitter about King of the Hill.
Don't blame you there. Being from Texas and it being set there, always hitting a chord.
I think there was some interview or something where like Fox might try to bring that back, like King of the Hill back, but. Mm. There's three problems. The first problem is Mike Judge is busy. Second problem is, I forget his last name, but the other guy who created it, Greg something, is busy. Yeah. And the third problem is Fox treated that show like shit.
And
so,
didn't the person that played Bobby died too?
No, Luann.
Yeah.
Brittany Murphy,
Luann.
She died.
Okay, yeah,
Greg Daniels, that was the other guy. Like, he's busy with other shit.
Right.
But so there would be some hurdles, but I just don't think Mike Judge would kind of allow it because of how they treated him.
Oh,
like how they treated
not.
The show, you know?
Yeah. They kept kind of just treating it like the bastard of the block that they really didn't want after a while. So
yeah. I mean, that show lasted
because it was consistent for a long time.
Yeah, that's the thing about King of the Hill. Like, it never had, like, the Simpsons highs, you know, like, season 3 through, like, 5 or whatever. But it never had the Simpsons lows of the past 15 years of the Simpsons. Like,
right,
it was always a consistently good, but not great or excellent show, which is fine. Like, I'd rather have that, honestly.
You know, I've heard a lot of people say that they really liked last year's Simpsons, though. So I think
the season premiere to The Simpsons was The Surfsons, I want to say that was the name.
Yeah.
And it was like a fantasy Game of Thrones, you know.
Yes, pastiche. It was. Yes.
And it's like, holy, you guys have just really run out of ideas, haven't you?
At least there's still something to it. Like when Family Guy does the parodies, it's just like, oh god.
Like, yeah. Stop.
I have a thing with this because I used it a lot. For a while, like I used it to, you know, this is how I would interact with the girl. Like I met my first girlfriend because of AIM, that I had in college for a while, you know? So like, I have a like big thing with AIM. Like I used that to talk to people for a long time in the '90s and all the way up until, you know, 2005, 2006, until, you know, Facebook became a thing and you didn't have to use that anymore. But, yeah, so kind of sad to see it going away. But, yeah, I mean, with all the social media we have now, it's kind of pointless.
You mean AOL Instant Messenger. You should...
Yes, AOL Instant Messenger. I did say AIM, like, three times, but yes, you're right. AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah, I mean, I used it a ton also. Like, I had a buddy list of, like, 150 people or 200 or whatever. Like, high school, obviously.
Right,
yeah. Like, you would ask people, like, what's their AIM handle or your screen name, not their phone number. Like,
right, exactly.
And then, yeah, like, people just drifted away from it and, you know, just kind of died. Like, they had no new features, and they would occasionally try, and they'd be kind of awful. And, like, I think spam took over, like, a lot of AIM also, which is unfortunate.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and then, like, you know, with Facebook and Twitter both having DMs or Messenger, it was kind of pointless, you know?
Yeah, and then also AIM had, like... I always saw it as AIM was for Americans, kind of obviously. Right. MSN Messenger was for like Europeans and like Australians. And ICQ was used by people who like would wear tinfoil hats.
Yahoo was a big thing for if you liked doing chats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I had a Yahoo account just for that, just so I could go in different chats.
Well, Yahoo had, like, chat rooms built in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the other two really didn't have that.
Right. But they had, like, a chat room for almost everything. So it's like, you go in there and you just talk to random people that you'll usually never know their name.
So. I mean, it's a shame, but, like, when was the last time you signed on to AIM?
I don't know. I feel like I probably, at some point in, like, I want to say 2012 or something might have done it just to see who was still on there, but...
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah.
I think I did it, like, 2 years ago, and there was still about... There's probably, like, 10 people still on, but I think most of them were just automatic account, like, automatically set up or auto-signed on or something.
They had like, it on their phone or something.
I'm sure if I, like, sent a message to one of them, like, it'd get no response or just... I don't even know who most of the people are at this point also, so.
You're like, oh, yeah, that was that guy in high school. Oh, now
yeah, I know. Yeah, pretty much.
Did you have, like, one of those weird, like, away messages?
What, oh, yeah.
Like, you created yourself?
Yeah, you had to.
Yeah.
Prove you were cool.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, it's like, how cool could your away message be? And then people would. Like, all right, that's innovative. The Tamagotchi is coming back, which I had the Digimon things. I didn't have a Tamagotchi, but I do remember a lot of girls having them on their backpacks, and they had to eventually outlaw them in the school because they kept going off, and people would, you know.
I had I think I had the Angel Tamagotchi, and I didn't really get into it.
Yeah.
Like, I think later on I got the Chao VMU thing from Sonic Adventure. And I got into that more until like 2 hours later when the VMU battery ran out.
Yeah, I know. I liked that thing. It took me a while to figure out that it was like a little pet.
Yeah.
In there. And then once I did, I was like, oh, I'm gonna take care of it and I don't want it to die. And it was interesting that they, like, had the forethought to put that in there. Just Sega doing cool things with the Dreamcast, which, unfortunately, didn't last long enough. But
well, I think it was partially based on a PlayStation 1 thing, because Sony had the Pocket Station in Japan, and that came out, I want to say 99 or 98? No, 99, but it came out way before. No, it came out later, I guess. So the VME might have been first. But yeah, the Pocket Station was basically the same thing for Sony for the PS1. Hmm. And I think Ridge Racer used it, Ridge Racer 4, and I think Final Fantasy 8 used it also.
What'd you do with it in Final Fantasy 8?
You picked cards?
Picked cards with it?
With the Triple Triad thing?
Yeah. Okay.
And, like, it didn't come to America, so I think that stuff was either kind of stripped out or just kind of left.
Weird. But, no. Hey.
It's called Chocobo World.
Okay, that makes more sense. So it was you took care of Chocobo?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes much more sense. Okay.
So way better than Tamagotchi or Chow Garden.
Exactly. Take care of your Chocobo. That's, you know, and have it get so excited it plays a song for you.
That's you like fight enemies and stuff too.
Oh really? Wow, that's cool. As a Chocobo?
Yeah.
See? They need to bring that game back.
Just...
they had one of those on, like, DS. Where you played as a Chocobo. And, like, I think you raised it and stuff like that. I think I have the game on this computer somewhere. of course, I mentioned Evil Within 2. Came out yesterday. Gran Turismo Sport. Which, you know, Forza came out a couple of weeks ago, and now Gran Turismo Sport coming out for Sony. So, Microsoft and Sony going at it with that.
I wonder which one's going to do better.
Yet. Watch Gran Turismo make a comeback. Who knows?
No.
Hey, it has that VR support. That's all it needs, right? The Fractured Butthole. Coming out same day, WWE 2K18 coming out. That's I know you're excited for that.
You get to play as Colonel Sanders. I'm on board.
That's exactly why you need to play the game. Colonel Sanders, Kurt Angle is Colonel Sanders, and
no, it's just,
I swear he has like Kurt Angle's build, but
maybe I just want to make.
Go ahead.
Go on. No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that they did have Kurt Angle come out as Colonel Sanders in a commercial.
No, this is like Colonel Sanders, wholly new character. I want there to be a like a year-long feud with Colonel Sanders and Brock Lesnar.
Or Brock Lesnar just murders him every day?
No, the other way around.
That's probably not happening outside of the... Watch them put that on TV. That's a point. Fallen Rim Warriors also coming out as well. So, and we're getting into that part of the season where you got to pick a game every week because there's no way you're buying all of them. It's crazy. But yeah, so we'll be back next week, and we'll see you later, everybody.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.